Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This is the book of Revelation as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
To believers who are faithful, that should be very encouraging. Listen, God knows. The Lord knows. Even the little things that we do or that you may do that you think is unimportant, he says, I know your labor. God knows everything you do. Even though the church may not recognize it or the pastor may not recognize it or people may not recognize it, listen, God knows. Why to rejoice in that? He says, I know thy labor. Now, you turn on the other side of the coin. For those who are unfaithful, talking about believers, he knows. All right, I don't want to be a discouraging message here, but he knows your unfaithfulness. You can't hide it from him. All right, and we may, even as people who act like they're faithful, we may put on the dog, you know, and on the outside look prim and trim and proper, but he knows. He says, I know thy labors and thy works. And it's interesting. It ought to be eye-opening and life-changing for all of us because Jesus knows. He knows. Well, it's interesting. When he says, I know thy works, the word works here literally is that Greek word ergon. It means busy. Literally, there is a lot going on. Now, remember, I call this a careless church, and we'll see why. But from the people on the outside looking at this church, man, it's a going and it's a moving. Okay? That's what it says. I know thy work. They were a busy church. I labeled them a serving church. That's what that word means. There, I know your works. Do you know you can be so busy sometime and forget about the Lord? Happens to all of us. Even for pastors, we get so busy in a building or whatever, you know, and other things we have to, and we forget the better things. What we are you following? We get so busy, we forget what it's really all about. And that's what the church at Ephesus had happened. He said, you're busy, a lot's going on. And then he uses that word labor. I know thy works and thy labor. Now, this is an interesting word, the word labor. It means they toiled to the point of exhaustion. In the Greek, I didn't want to try to pronounce that word. Doug's here. He's intimidating to me. And anyway, because he's a Greek scholar and Hebrews guy, and I don't know these words. I just know what they mean. I look up the definition of them. And it means they toil to the point of exhaustion. In other words, they put everything they had in it all, their heart and their energy. Not only were they a serving church, they were a sacrificing church. They were putting it all into, but we're going to find out, why do you do what you do? He looks beyond the methods and he looks at your motive. He looks at your heart, and we're fixing to find that out. So he knew their works. They were busy. He knew their labor. They toiled to the point of exhaustion. And then he says this, in thy patience. The word patience literally means to bear up under pressure. There's a lot of pressure. We think we're under pressure today. And as the months and maybe years go along here in the United States, there are going to be a lot of pressures on Lord's churches, no doubt about it. But during this time, there was so much pressure. People who were believers were being martyred and killed, and a lot of things were going on. He says that you've had a lot of patience. You stayed with stuff. You're able to, hupomeno, is that something like that? Anyway, you're able to stand up, bear up under the pressure. When it's weighting you down, you didn't collapse. It's like a bridge that a lot of traffic, you're holding up under that pressure. And he was commending them. You have the patience. And so they were a serving church, they were a sacrificing church, and patience means they were a steadfast church. They kept on keeping on. Well, it had been about 40 years since Paul started the church, and they were still serving and sacrificing. They were still faithful to the word, because it's interesting when he says in verse number 2 and 3, he says that how thou cannot bear them with evil. There's another S I could throw at you. They were separated church. They didn't allow false doctrines and false teachers into their church. He says, thou cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and they are not, and hast found them to be liars. And that's pretty strong language. to say they are liars, that they're not apostles, they're false prophets. Well, in a nice way, because I want to be a nice guy. Today we have false prophets, okay? And the Bible says they're liars. And I don't want to name a bunch, but I'll give you a few of them, okay? And this is, I know, out there in the internet and whatever, but they're false prophets, they're liars. Olstein, he's a false prophet. Benny Hinn, Kenneth Copeland, Joyce Meyer, a whole list of people. I could go on, but you get the point. Who claim to be Christians. But if you line it up with Scripture, just like the church at Ephesus did, you find them to be liars. And they said that they're apostles. Well, we know there's no apostles today. And it's funny, I drive by a church and it says, Apostle so-and-so on the sign and all whatever. There's no apostles today. They're, since John was the last living apostle. But it's interesting, this church, you can never, ever replace love with orthodoxy. They were straight on their doctrine, this church. I mean, if they were here today, as Westwood Missionary Baptist Church, we'd fellowship with them because they're straight on their doctrine. Are you following? But yet, there was something wrong. In verse number 3, again, the Lord had emphasizes and commends the church for their zeal and steadfastness in the name of the Lord. So he compliments them. And then in verse number 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because, and I underlined this in my Bible, thou hast left thy first love. Literally, that phrase means they abandoned their first love. And who is their first love? It is Christ. And only Christ lost people and what it was all about. They left their first love. And so they were a slipping church. Hope you get all this. One day I'll have it in a little book somewhere. They were a sacrificing church. They were a steadfast church. But they were also a slipping church. They left their first love. The honeymoon was over. Their love was gone. It was waning. The love for Christ, love for the souls of men, love for the lost and try to win people. They were so concerned with themselves and they became no longer fishers of men. They were keepers of the aquarium. You've heard this so many times. They were concerned about them. And he, man, I'm glad what you're doing. You're busy. You're toiling. You're laboring. But you forgot what it's all about. I have something against you. Orthodoxy will never, ever, ever take the place of love. Never. Never. So much could be said here, but let me give you the remedy. Okay? He didn't leave it there. He gave them steps to recovery. Look at verse number 5. First thing he said was to remember. Remember. They'd forgotten. Obviously, they'd forgotten where they come from. It'd been 40 years, and I'm sure some of these elders that Paul, they had wept with Paul on the side of by the seashore. They were probably already gone, dead, and new people had come in, and they had forgotten how it all began. Do you know, again, I don't want to get caught up in this. That's why a lot of churches, after that first generation of believers who started a church and blood, sweat, and tears, and they built a church and put their, not just their money, but their time and effort in it. When that generation passes, many times you see it in churches, they die. That next generation, it's not their church. It was mom and dad's church. Are you following? They haven't put that blood, sweat, and tears and whatever the case may be. It happens all the time. When that one generation, whether it's 40, 50 years or whatever it may be, you see so many churches starting to slip and to die, and you know examples, and I can give you examples of that. That's why we're so blessed at this church. And again, I say this, and next week, y'all may throw me out. I don't know, have a blow up next week, Lord knows. But you know what I'm talking about? How even from the youngest people, they have a part in this church.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word, and visit us online at WestwoodMBC to hear more teaching like this. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.